We want to look at discipline unto godliness, or godly discipline, however you want to term it. But in looking at that, you know, I was thinking that sometimes, have you ever felt like you're on a spiritual roller coaster with the Lord? I know when I was a young Christian, it was kind of like up and down, up and down. And one day you're up, and maybe the next day you're down, or one week you're doing really good, and then the next week, all of a sudden, you're doing really bad. And so it's kind of like an up and down thing. For a time, you're fired up for the things of the Lord, and then it seems like that fire just dies out, and you're wondering, what is going on? What is wrong with me in my Christian life? And then you can get to the point where you think, why do I even try? I read the Bible, I get convicted, and I just don't want to try anymore. What's the use? The harder I try, the more I fail. And so I don't want to get my hopes up, because if I get my hopes up, then I'll be disappointed just one more time. Or another study I just read the other day, Barna Institute, they track church trends, and they just did a study of the churches, of people in churches, and they said 46% of those that attend church say that the church has not made a significant change in the way they live. 25% say it's made a big change, and 25% said it has made somewhat of a change. But 46% of people in church, I would hope you're not one of them, you know, as we're teaching the word. But like, the things of the Lord have not made a significant change in a person's life. And then you wonder, well, why do some Christians, it seems like they go from victory to victory. They're going through a trial, but they're persevering. And then they have victory in that. Or it seems like they're always going upward and onward. There's always new horizons to conquer or new ventures of faith that they're involved in. Seems like they're always on a spiritual high. And here I am, dying, barely hanging on, you might think. You see, is that how your Christianity is seem to be panning out? You know, that you're just barely hanging in there. Well, you know, I really think that the answer to this, if it's kind of an up and down thing, if it's an in and out, if it's always like you're on a low and you're not on a spiritual high, and maybe you admire those that do seem to have it together spiritually, I think the key is disciplining ourselves unto godliness. That's the issue right there. Discipline unto godliness. One of the problems in our society is, well, we've got a lot of problems, but one of them is everything is instant. Instant this, instant that, instant success, instant meals, instant cash, just go to the ATM machine and take it out, instant online chatting with people that are clear around the world. And you see, if our computer takes an extra 5 seconds to load up, man, are we bummed. What's wrong with this thing? I don't have 5 seconds. You know, everything is so instant in our life. In fact, they had a commercial a few years back, and the headline of the commercial was, "I hate to wait." I forget what it was for, but "I hate to wait." That was their whole genre, their whole mantra is, and really that's true. We don't want to wait. We live in an instant society, but you see, some things are not instant. No matter what you do, some things just aren't instant. The growth of a child, I mean, that's going to take time. Maturity will take place. You can't expect a 2-month-old baby to start walking. You can't expect a 2-year-old child to start driving a car. I know they would like to. Or you can't expect a 12-year-old to pilot a plane, an F-15, just impossible. Or a 20-year-old to be president of the United States. Although if you do have a 20-year-old that wants to run, I may vote for him this next election. But I mean, you see, certain things take time and take maturity. And so it is with godliness. There's no instant godliness, God-likeness. And I don't mean in the weird cult way, but the idea is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You see, and that's where we come in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness." Godly discipline. And you know what? This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Do this. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Remember when Jesus gave the command, again, not a suggestion, Matthew 5:48, "You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Are you kidding? As perfect as God? Well, the term means fully matured or growing in the things of God. And you see, I interpret that not so much as perfection, but as direction on my part. I can't perfect the work that God has started in me, but I can certainly direct my life. And I believe that's what he's talking about. You see, if we direct, he'll perfect. He'll perfect the things in us. He will bring that God-likeness, that conformity to the image of God, if we discipline ourselves to godliness. Direction. You see, you're headed in the direction this morning because you're here this morning. A lot of people aren't here this morning, but you are here. You see, it's evidence that it's a direction, and God will take care of the perfection. In fact, the Bible tells us to test yourselves. You know, kind of look at yourself, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. That's 2 Corinthians 13:5. And examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So in other words, you know, look at your lifestyle, look at your life. Is the direction set? You see, are you more like Jesus today than when you first believed? Or are you more like your old self, finding you falling back into those old patterns that the Lord brought you out of? You see, that's what he's saying. Look at yourself and examine yourself. Check yourself out. Are you more like Jesus? Is he in you, working in you? Is that discipline unto godliness, is the direction headed toward him? You see, very important. Remember when Jesus talking to the religious leaders and they're talking about who's righteous and who's godly and who's holy, and their whole thing was outward stuff. And Jesus, he finally said that it's not what goes in to a person or into the mouth that defiles the person, but what proceeds out of the mouth, that defiles the man. And so he's saying it's not outwardly what you do, all the rituals and all the ceremonies and all these outward kind of works and displays of godliness that others might go, "Oh, what a godly person." Jesus is saying, "Oh, no, that's not it." You see, it's not the outward stuff. It's not what goes into your mouth, your eatings and your washings and that stuff. But it's really what comes out of the mouth. And so according to Jesus, you're not what you eat. You're not what you eat, but you are what you think and what you say. It's what comes out of the inside. That's what you are, what you say. You see, for the Bible says, "For as a person thinks within themselves, so are they." You see, as we think, as we reason, as we speak, as we act on those things, that's who we are. And you see, for this reason, we need to discipline ourselves unto godliness. Because of that, it comes from the inside out. That's what the Lord is saying. Now, because this is not an instant process, doesn't happen overnight, doesn't so much happen by osmosis, sleeping with a Bible under your pillow. Not going to happen like that. But it's a process, and you need two things for this process to really work. Number one is faith. Faith that God will complete the work that he's begun in you. You are his workmanship, and you need to have faith that he's going to finish that work he's begun in you. And the second thing is patience. The first is faith, the second is patience. Patience for the time it's going to take him to finish that work. You see, you're his work, and now you just simply need patience to let him work with you. Some people, it seems like they grow faster than others. Others, it takes a longer time. I find in my life some things, you know, I grew pretty fast in some areas, but others, it's been painstaking to see other areas change, and they're not changed yet. And so faith that God will complete the work, and patience that it's in his timetable that he'll finish that work. In fact, the Bible addresses that for us in Hebrews 6:12. It says, "Be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God." Ah, faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. Yeah, I like that. But according to Barna, 46% of church people are just sitting on the premises and not inheriting the promises. You see, no change in their life. Well, that's not biblical. That's not Christian. You see, because we need faith, because we need patience, and God's going to do that work, we need to set our spiritual GPS, not global guidance system, but God's guidance system in our life, the spiritual guidance system toward godliness. You see, you said it. You can do it right now. God, make me what you want me to be. I want to be more like you. You see, you can do that. I love, you know, going on the web, and actually you can even carry your computer around with you. If you have an iPad, you can carry it going on vacation. Or you can go on the computer and on the web, and you can go to MapQuest or Google Maps and that kind of thing. And it's just amazing what they will do. You're at point A, and you want to go to point B. Now, that's kind of hard here in Hawaii, you know, and you're at point A. You know, they don't really have roads to go, you know, to point B if you're in the mainland somewhere. So once you end up in LAX and you type on the computer where you're at and there and where you want to go, maybe you're 1,000 miles away. And it'll show you every road to take, every freeway, every turnoff. It's pretty amazing. And you see, that's what we do in our life with our spiritual God, his positioning system in us. We set it to godliness, and then we live life. And we go through life, and there are a lot of areas that we go to that we think, well, this is kind of a roundabout way to get there. And God is saying, no, I know what I'm doing. I will get you there. Well, Lord, why am I going through this deep trial if I'm your child? Why have you brought this pain into my life? And God says, I know what I'm doing. You see, you're on that road to godliness. You've got the godly spiritual positioning system, you know, set toward godliness. And I'll lead you. I'll take you there. Well, what if I mess up? You know, what if when I began my walk, I set my life toward the Lord, but then I messed up. I got off track. You know, I really blew it. You see, God the Holy Spirit, he's the tracking device. He knows when you get off. You see, and that still small voice is going to remind you. That still small voice is going to bring you back, or at least encourage you to get back. Our last trip we went on, we had an iPad with us, and so we wanted to know how to get there. And the amazing thing with these global positioning systems, you go from point A to point B, you can actually even turn on the voice monitor. And here is some woman that comes on. You are 500 yards away from your next turn. Turn on blah, 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 blah. You know, and we finally named her Lola, you know, and all. If you're single and you're driving alone for any length of time, you might fall in love. But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, here her voice comes on, you know, every so often to remind you where you're going and make that right turn or turn onto this highway. But you see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Does the same thing, speaks to our heart, convicts us, and corrects course. You see, I can resist the Holy Spirit. I can do that. I can quench the Holy Spirit. I can go off course. But you see, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you, and if you keep going off course, you know what? He'll let you. He's a gentleman. And you can quench, you can grieve the Holy Spirit, you can go off course. Oh, you could go back to the old neighborhoods. You could go back to the old sin dens. The Holy Spirit will let you and try to train you through all that. Doesn't want you to do that, but he'll let you do that. God will let you go back and live that old life again, that old empty life, that life without purpose, that life without meaning. He will do that, allow that. But you see, you can't get away from that still small voice. Why are you over here? What are you doing? Why are you in this place? You know, as God spoke to Elijah, why are you here, Elijah? Get back in the things of the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit's so faithful to do that. And remember when Jesus said, blessed, or oh, how happy are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. That is a gift of God. If you are hungering and thirsting after the things of the Lord, God has given you that desire. That is an incredible thing. That is a spiritual thing. That is a godly thing. That is a supernatural thing. You didn't have that before you were saved. Oh, maybe you wanted to go down some new age esoteric path of spirituality that will puff you up. But you see, that desire to know God and to have His will in your life and to be like Him and follow Him, that is an incredible, supernatural thing God has done in your life. You see, when we're born again, born of the Spirit, God comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, and He gives us God's want-tos. That was always an amazing thing. I'd hear people tell me, well, Bill, you know what happens when you're saved, now that you're saved, Bill, and the Holy Spirit's in you, He will give you the want-tos. You stop wanting to do the sinful things that you used to do and those things that you got pleasure in the world, and you want to do the things of the Lord. And I thought, that's an amazing concept. And you know, I found that was true. I found that God gave me such a deeper spiritual hunger and thirst for Him, the lesser, the soulish, was not as important. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, gives us the want-tos. He sets our spiritual radar toward godliness. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:9 that no one who is born of God, that's being born again, practices sin because his seed, God's seed, abides in him, or the Holy Spirit in us. And he cannot sin. He cannot sin because he is born of God. That is a radical statement. In other words, God is saying you can't sin and get away with it if the Holy Spirit is in you. If that godly positioning system is in you toward godliness and you go astray, you go off track, you're going to be reminded. You just can't do, you know, can't go astray, you know, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Years ago, before we had K-Lite Radio, if you remember KAIM, and then it was sold to Salem, the other station. We had a live program on there, and it was a call-in program. We'd go through the scriptures and all. And I remember I was in this passage that the seed of God abiding in you, and you cannot sin. And we had a caller call up, and he sounded like he was an alcoholic. I mean, I grew up in that environment, so I know what that sounds like. And very cautious in how he would speak. It was either drugs or that. And I thought it was a fella calling up and just kind of, he was ready to go off because we had helped out in a situation with a girl that he was harassing. And I thought he was on the air and he was just going to go off at any minute. So I thought this was him. And so as I was talking to him, I was trying to get him off the air and get out of him what he wanted and said, how does this happen? How can you not sin, you know, when you have this desire to sin and the seed of God? And so I explained it to him. The Holy Spirit comes in and gives you a new life and that kind of thing. And so I got him off air really quick. And he went to one of the counselors. And then afterwards, I said, was that person's name really Richard? And he said, yeah, it was. In fact, he received the Lord on the off air. And I said, wow, oh, I thought it was this other guy. And so then a few days later, I got a call from Richard. He came in. He wanted to talk to me in my office. He came in and he said, you know, he'd been reading Hebrews about the unpardonable sin. After you've received the knowledge of the truth and then gone away, you cannot be renewed to repentance. And so he was looking at that as like he couldn't be renewed to repentance. And I assured him, oh, no, you can. You see, the proof of that is you're convicted and you want to now do the things of the Lord. Well, this fellow was an alcoholic. He was taking cocaine, and yet, when he received the Lord and the Spirit of God came in him and convicted him, he did begin to go toward that godliness place. And maybe you remember him if you were around back then. He became one of our pastors, Pastor Richard Belding. Then he went off and helped out in the church over in Kauai, and now he's in Northern California, I think, pastoring a church over there. But you see, there's what God does in a person's life. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives us this new life. We can't go on in the old life without being reminded or convicted or the Holy Spirit redirecting us to that godly positioning system to go toward godliness. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what faith does, when we put faith in Jesus Christ, he instantly declares us judicially right before God. That happens immediately. We've been justified by faith, and we have peace with God. That's right away. That doesn't mean you have to go through a whole bunch of classes. You go through a probationary period. No, as soon as you believe and receive, you're made right before God. And from that point on, God makes us what he's declared us to be, righteous. Sometimes I don't feel very righteous. You know, sometimes we think and where we're at right now, maybe we feel like those old habits. Sometimes they get the best of us. The stubborn ways that seem to be hard to break away from. The glaring flaws in our life, and we're wondering, will we ever change in these areas? And God says, yes, you will. God sees what he's making us into, a new you. So have faith that he's going to do it, and have patience that it's in his timing. You know, you just set the course. You see, you just position the direction. He'll take care of the perfection. Because it happens, the change happens by means of discipline unto godliness. And that's a sustained daily giving over to God. I want to say a sustained daily effort. But when I say effort, sometimes you think it's your work. No, it is an effort in a sense where you're giving yourself over to God. And the term there, discipline, in that verse 7, is an interesting term. In the Greek, it's gymnazo. Gymnasio, we get our English word gymnasium. And in a gymnasium, as the Greeks would define that, that would be an athlete exerting effort over a sustained period of time to accomplish some goal. In other words, when you do something over and over for a sustained period of time, all of a sudden it becomes very natural to you to do that. It's like second nature. There's no thought. You just have the ability to do whatever that thing is that you couldn't do before, but now you're doing it. And doing it in an incredible, skillful way. And now spiritually, you know, you take it from the gym and take it to spiritual things, to godliness. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, in other words, follow Jesus, have faith in Jesus, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, there's the sustained daily giving over. You're giving over your self-will. Deny yourself, and you're taking up Jesus' cross. That's an instrument of death, crucifying the old sinful ways, denying them, and giving yourself over to the Lord and following him. In other words, you're replacing the old with the new. The old Bill with the new Bill. And I have to do that all the time. I have to do that with attitudes and actions. I have to do that with my thought life. I have to do that in so many areas. Very interesting, but when you do that, it's amazing what God does. But they say it takes 21 days to change behavior. So as you go on in you know, your certain routine, as maybe you break that routine and you start a new pattern, a new direction to godliness, it's amazing what God does. Now, maybe it's not all in one chunk. A few years back, we were in India with some of the Calvary pastors here in Hawaii. Incredible experience over there. Some of the most spiritual men and women I've ever seen. Their worship and everything, it's just a delight. But they had an incredible schedule at this Bible college, and this Bible college went, I'm not exactly sure, it might have gone for 4, 5, 6 months, but anyway, I looked at their schedule, and so I copied it down. I thought, man, this is one of the reasons why they are so alive in the things of the Lord. And what they talk about and the things of the Lord, and they're so involved in worship because they have disciplined themselves unto godliness. Now, after they get out of the Bible college, hopefully they'll continue and maintain that. But you see, these were the demands of the Bible college, and this is what the students were following. At 5 a.m., they wake up. 5:15 to 5:45, family prayer. 5:45 to 6:45, personal grooming. 6:45 to 7:45 a.m., personal devotion. 8 to 8:55, first period class. 8:55 to 9:30, breakfast. 9:30 to 10, chapel. 10 to 10:55, second period class. 10:55 to 11:50, third period class. 11:50 to 12:05, break. 12:05 to 1, fourth period class. 1 to 2 o'clock, lunch. 2 to 3, study hall. 3 to 4, fifth period class. 4 to 4:30, tea. 4:30 to 6:30, manual duties. 6:30 to 7, personal care. 7 to 7:30, dinner. 7:30 to 8, family prayer. 8 to 10, study hall. 10:15, lights out. First Friday of the month, all-night prayer. Friday, all-night prayer, that's once a month. And then every Friday from 6 to 10, prayer and fasting. I mean, you just get dizzy with that. But the thing is, it brings them up to an incredible spiritual high. Now, this would be very hard for us to, I'm going to do that every day. Well, I hope you would. That'd be nice. Maybe you do. Come and see me afterwards. Maybe you can be my personal trainer. But, it seems pretty hard to do. You know, one of the things that I love about the Israel trip, because it's a pretty disciplined trip. We're up in the morning very early at 6:30. We're out, if we're in the Galilee area, out on the shores of the Sea of Galilee doing a devotion 6 to 6:30. Breakfast. 6:30 to 7, devotions, 7 to 8, breakfast, 8 on the bus, all day touring different sites with our Bibles, back at 5 o'clock, dinner, go to bed, get up, do the same thing. And with all that study, with all that intensity, with constantly, thinking in prayer and Bible study and worship and all that, it's just amazing. People come back on such an incredible spiritual high. There have been those that were there a year ago, 2 years ago. They're still on a spiritual high because of that discipline unto godliness. You're replacing the old, putting off the old, and replacing it with the new, or putting on the new. As Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24 says, put off the old. It says that you put off concerning. Notice this, our old life before Christ, your former conduct, the old man or the old self, which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. In other words, you're not going to reform the old flesh. It just keeps getting worse and worse. That's what he's saying. And so you're putting it off. And be renewed, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created, or the new self which was recreated according to God and true righteousness and holiness. You see, put off the old, put on the new. But so often we give up too soon. We get discouraged and we give up just short of victory. It's so sad. I've heard the story. I've read the story about a miner in Colorado. He sold everything he had to buy this mining stake. Yeah, whatever he said, that was right. Stake. And as he spent years and years, he hid a little bit of gold, but then the vein ran out. And he kept selling. He kept trying to make that mine work. And finally, he was totally broke, totally exhausted, and he was completely disillusioned. And so he put the mine up for sale, very cheap. A fella came along. He had a geologist and a sayer take a look at the mine. Told the fella, go ahead, invest in it. The fella invested in it. And 3 feet from where the guy was digging, he hit one of the richest gold, veins of gold in Colorado. Just 3 feet more. You see, but he didn't have the right information to proceed, and he didn't have the wherewithal to continue on. And it's so important. You know, we get impatient and with our progress, and we quit. You see, we quit and we stop just short. Because I think lack of endurance is at the root of us giving up our pursuit of godly discipline. And I just encourage you, maybe if you're discouraged, hey, get back into the race. Let God set your global, godly, spiritual positioning system toward godliness. You see, because you need endurance. And the Bible tells us that, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, this is Hebrews 10:36, you may receive what was promised. You see, godliness comes by the Holy Spirit of God working through the Word of God, changing the people of God. You see, that is what is promised. And God will work that in you if you just have faith that God's going to complete it in you, no matter what things look like now. Have faith that He'll do it, and then have patience. It's His timing, so just you have need of endurance. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. There it is, the Word of God. Spirit of God working through the Word of God, changing the people of God. The New Living Translation in that verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3 says, all Scripture is inspired of God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right, to do what is the will of God. You see, no instant success, but it's constant. And then we will see success. No instant godliness. But you see, keep the constancy. Or, you know, when you think about it, there's not really anything that's instant. Oh, you might hit the lottery, but that's unusual. Somebody hits the lottery. Facebook inventor, richest man in the world at 27 years old. Unbelievable. Multi-billionaire. I mean, but that's so unusual, isn't it? Instant meals? Well, not really. I mean, we would buy mesquite barbecue chicken. You think, oh, that's easy. Just pop it in the microwave, 60 seconds. Well, wait a minute. That's an illusion. It took somebody to feed that chicken, to fatten up that chicken, to kill that chicken, to pluck that chicken, to fillet that chicken, to season the chicken, cook the chicken, and package the chicken. And we put it in the microwave for 30 seconds. We think it's instant. You know, what an illusion. Nothing is really instant. You see, discipline means structure. It means that when you do structure your life, it's going to bring freedom and it's going to bring liberty. You see, you may think, I think liberty and freedom is the opposite of structure. I think an unstructured life is a life that's free. You know, if I went to play the piano right there, unstructured, you'd probably do this. Put your fingers in your ears or leave. Because I don't have charts. I'm not trained. I don't know what I'm doing. I can go on there and plunk around and it'd sound horrible. You see, in a life that's not structured, it's chaotic. It's a burden. Have you ever gone on vacation and it was unstructured? I learned this lesson a long time ago with my wife. And I'm just going to let the Lord lead. Don't do that, guys, if you're with your wife. Well, I was letting the Lord lead, and we didn't have any place to stay. You know, we were going to go to the pastor's conference, but here we are driving from L.A. to Costa Mesa. Where are we staying? I don't know. I'm just letting the Lord lead. And silence. Silence for almost the rest of the trip. But I was finding a good deal, and so I was going into the hotels, pulling in, said, how much are your rate? And they'd give me a rate, and I'd go on to another one. What's your rate? Finally, I found a rate that was really cheap. Probably way too cheap for you even to want to stay there. And I should have known when they asked me, do you want it by the hour or by the day? But I was a little bit too dumb to figure that out. And so we stayed there. And I wondered what all those people were out sitting on the stairs. Then I realized after we left, they were drug dealers and pimps and prostitutes. And when we got in the room, there was still the old soap in the dish and still a toothbrush there. The door to lock the thing was like a little bathtub door. I had to put a chair there. We got into the bed. It was a queen-size bed. We all rolled into, not all, me and my wife, we rolled into the middle of the bed. No springs in it. What a horrible experience. I learned my lesson. Structure. Structure brings freedom. You see, it brings liberty. A train runs best on its tracks. That's structure. You see, the designer gave it freedom when it's confined to its tracks. And you say, well, that's too restrictive, Bill. I want an unstructured train ride. Well, that could be disastrous. Off the tracks, in the field. Well, you lose the liberty. You lose the liberty for what that train is created for. It was created to be confined to the tracks, to go to where the designer wants it to go. And so it is with our life. So our spiritual life, freedom comes by disciplining ourselves unto godliness. You see, the Word of God are our spiritual train tracks. And the Holy Spirit is the engine empowering our life and helps us to bend our will to whatever the tracks, the Word of God, wherever it wants to take us. You see, and the more you live in that space, in that realm, in that direction, the more you find freedom and liberty in your life. The Bible says, for if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Jesus said that. You see, He's given us freedom. Galatians 5:1 said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Discipline ourselves unto godliness, like those train tracks. The fact of the Word of God, then the coal car, the Holy Spirit that feeds, you know, gives us the power, and then the caboose, the feelings. It's fact, faith, and feelings. Never let your feelings dictate your spiritual life. Never think that feelings are going to give you liberty and freedom. You see, you start going off track and you find it's disastrous. God's given us life and that more abundantly. And it comes through godly discipline. Let's pray. Let's have the ushers come forward and we're going to partake of communion. Just adds God's blessing upon our life, upon the service. Father, the service that we will partake of, Lord, this Lord's Supper, communion. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for that work that you've done on the cross. Lord, you've really set the train tracks down with the Word of God. You've set us on the right path, Lord, by our faith in you. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit that really directs our life. Lord, really sets the divine positioning system toward godliness. And Lord, as we just give you our lives afresh this morning, God, we do pray that you would direct our lives. Lord, lead us deeper into your heart and into your ways. And Lord, just thank you for each and every person here this morning. And Father, as we do partake of the bread and the cup, Lord, I pray that it would be just a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon each and every life. Lord, a fresh commitment or desire to put off the old and put on the new. Leave the old life behind and celebrate and allow you to continue to build in us that new life that we have in Christ. So Lord, just continue to bless us. Continue to use all that you have for us, all the tools to build not only our lives, but the body of Christ. In Jesus' name.